So regarding Metro, I think unfortunately they're in a situation whereby they've got loads of stores, branches in and around London. They're trying to go further up
Huge
the,
cost.
just bricks. But
Yeah.
they're trying to go up the country, but it's too late. And like you say, all these other banks are going online. They're trying to reduce their numbers
Yeah,
of
and they're reducing,
staff,
getting their costs down and
getting their
stuff.
costs down, and they've got the highest costs probably running
Yeah.
regarding a bank. So I don't see how it's sustainable, mate, to be fair.
Doesn't make any sense. So, yeah, that's a bit of a weird one. I don't, what other stocks you want to talk about, mate?
Well, we wanted to talk about the two stocks that you've purchased of late, Pete,
Oh yeah.
Vodafone and IGG.
That's right. Yeah, no, I bought some Vodafone. When was this? Probably about, I don't know, a month ago or something. And I bought a few. I can't really remember the price, but it was something like 145 or something like that. And I really bought them for my income portfolio because they were, I think the yield when I bought them there was something like 5.6% dividend yield. And this is after they've cut. So they've already cut the dividend, and it's still a pretty chunky dividend. And then I noticed that they'd sort of did a bit of a wiggle on the chart, like a sort of bull flag where they're consolidating. Then they started to jump higher again. So I bought more. And so I bought a couple of chunks of those. And it's looking pretty good. I'm quite pleased with that. And, like I say, it's sort of 5% odd divvy. They're looking to do something with the towers business, which could be that they spin it out into a separate company, or it might end up getting sold off or something. But that should help matters. I just think it's a utility. It's pretty well placed. I mean, obviously they've got things like 5G licenses that are a future cost for them, but. When you compare Vodafone to the other operators, I think they're pretty well placed to compete. And 5G is going to be a big thing, and they're going to be right at the center of it. So, I'm very happy holding them.
Yeah, I think that once they sell that tower business, that will help with their debt levels. And
Yeah.
the beauty of that is, mate, is that if they do sell it and get a good price for it, they might think, you know what, we've reduced the debt, we can actually increase the next set of dividends by 5 to 10%, and you'll be up there again with a higher dividend.
Well, I think that's what will happen. I think because they've, what do they call it, rebased the dividend,
Yes, yep.
which basically means they cut it massively. Because they've rebased it, that obviously reduces the demands on their cash and stuff. So that gives them a little bit more leeway. And as you say, I think, as we move forward, we should see them increase that dividend slowly over time. So it should be a stock that I can sort of hang on to and get a decent yield out of every year. And it's never going to set the world alight. You're not going to become a millionaire overnight owning Vodafone, but it's the sort of thing that can plod away, give me a nice little income every year into my portfolio. Lovely. I'm quite happy with that.
And this goes back to what we've said time and time again, Pete. I think, sadly, there are a number of people on Twitter that attend Mello, that go other places, maybe less so Mello, actually,
Yeah.
that are setting out the year to smash the lights out, not the lights out. And
Oh yeah, people are trying to make 100% a year, and
the best way to become a to change your wealth is to
yeah,
do so slowly. You know,
steadily.
occasionally you'll have the odd takeover and this and the other, but all's well. You know, you've got to be able to do things with a view to, if the markets, like Buffett says, were to shut for a little while, you'd be okay. You wouldn't be, hysteria beating the doors down to the London Stock Exchange saying, I need to get my money out.
You're not going to panic, sort of thing.
You're not going to panic. So you want the plodders and the ones that are going to be there turning over 6, 7, 8% consistently as a total returns each year, because that's how you compound your returns, and that's how your portfolio becomes a life-changing amount for you to be able to retire early or whatever.
That's exactly the thing, isn't it? It's like if you were just making a more realistic amount, sort of like 10% a year compounded. If you can sort of that's a kind of sensible target, or maybe 7 or 8% compounded. When you do that, 7% 1 year, and then 7% on that amount, 7% on that amount, and just building that over time, it will grow into a big sum, and you can sleep at night.
And that's the Buffett way, mate. You know what I mean? And I keep saying to
Yeah.
people, stop chasing rainbows and look for a stock that you can buy and hold for 2 or 3 years.
Don't be greedy.
Don't be greedy. And if you're able to actually pick it up at a decent price and it starts to recover, then you've got a situation whereby, somebody else might think, oh, this company's onto its recovery path now, and then come
Yeah.
and buy it, come and take it over, which is what, has happened with a couple of takeovers this year in the likes of Mitre Group having a all share merger with Premier Asset Management, and
Yeah.
then Charles Taylor for me being taken over. But to go back to what you were saying, I keep putting out this picture with an investment on it, and the time frames are 5, 10 years, 15, 20, 25, and it goes down to 40. But for somebody who's invested £10,000 and it returns, and this is a low return really, if you've got a portfolio that's ranging from blue chips down to small caps stocks,
Yeah,
if you're
a mix of
returning a
things.
total return of 6%, yeah, if you invested
Mm.
£10,000, and that's even less than half of an ISA per year now, right?
Yeah,
But
yeah.
your £10,000 was invested at 6% return total returns, and you held that for 20 years, yeah, you've got £30,000. So you trebled it over 20 years, right? That's one half of an ISA for 1 year.
Yeah.
If you're able to do your ISA every single year for 20 years, you've got £1 million there, Pete.
Exactly. And that is a very sensible growth. I mean, 6% isn't blowing the lights out. I mean, if that was up to 8%, it would make a big difference. You'd probably find that original 10,000 into 30,000 actually became 10 into 60. It makes that much difference, just a couple of percent more. It's amazing how the numbers work. Quite fascinating, really.
It is, and it's just about being disciplined, really.
Yeah.
You've got to be disciplined. You've got to be patient. You haven't got to chase anybody, with regards to the amounts that you put in. But essentially, 10,000, if you were to push it out a little bit and be above average, right? And get 12% for say 10 grand, and kept it for
Yeah.
42 years. So we're talking about somebody like Dan, who we both know, yeah,
Yeah, a
or
young guy
a
can,
young a
yeah.
young Dan, right?
Yeah.
Or and he's able to get 12% per year
Yeah.
for that £10,000. That's all he's doing is compounding just that £10,000, yeah, for 42 years, right? So he's now in his 70s. He's got 1.28 million pounds just for £20,000. Just
Incredible.
£10,000, sorry. So
Yeah.
we're going back again to the rule of 72,
Yeah.
and it's about being patient with your portfolio.
And obviously you've got to live a long time or whatever, but as you were saying, if you could just put in reasonable amounts every year, if someone could just save away 4, 5, 6 grand a year and keep compounding at these kind of rates, you're going to end up with a lot of money by the time you're sort of like 40, 45, 50. You're going to have a lot of wage.
Absolutely. Now, talking about being patient, Pete, I can't help but to touch on Neil Woodford's situation.
Oh,
They
God.
they've got a board meeting over the weekend, and on Monday they're going to be having their results regarding the fund. There is
Which one's
talk.
this? Is this the unit trust or is this
This
the
is just the
WPC?
fund people making a decision as to what to do with the person whose fund technically it is and who founded it. And
So
there's
is
talk.
that's the unit trust or not the income fund or whatever, yeah?
This is about, I'm getting to the to with
Sorry.
regards to whether Neil Woodford is going to remain the head honcho of Woodford Funds.
Yeah.
So there's deliberations and there's talk as to will they be brave enough to show him the exit, yeah?
Incredible. Incredible.
That would be, to me, the ultimate fall from grace if you're being ousted from the very company that you founded.
It's got your name on the door.
Exactly.
Good Lord. I mean, that's going to be so when will we know? Monday morning or
Well,
something, do you think?
Monday they might make an announcement as
Yeah.
to whether or not they're gonna keep him, but it's going to be very, very interesting as to whether they do that. But
Yeah.
basically the independent board of Woodford Patient Capital Trust is expected to give a decision as to his role.
Yeah.
I just find it staggering that it's come to this,
Well, I think, if we're talking about WPCT, the investment trust, because that's a separate company, and effectively the fund manager, as in Mr. Woodford, is brought in and paid a salary to manage it, kind of thing, in a way, then I would think there's probably a fair chance they're gonna change manager, I would think. Yeah, it's got to be pretty likely, isn't it?
It's crazy, mate. You've got something that went to a premium when it was floated because everybody wanted to be part of it.
Yeah.
Every single, Hargreaves Lansdown, St James Place, and all the other entities were touting it. Analysts were saying it's the best thing since sliced bread. Patient, 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 and stick with Neil. And in 3, 4, 5, 10 years, you make a crazy amount of money. And the shares were at a premium. Went to 120 or 118 or something daft like that. And now it's sitting there at what, 42, 43 pence or something daft like that. Just
Just been great.
crazy. And
Just been
companies that were part of the portfolio are getting sold off at fire sale sort of prices and have been
Yeah.
hampered because he's held them.
Well, no, I think it's a good point. I think there's a lot of stocks that have been held back, but a simple fact that he's been selling out of them and just keeping this relentless selling pressure on the company. So, I'm sure there's several that we'll see recover a bit once that stops.
Yeah, I mean, I spoke to a few people that have asked me what I'm looking at regarding stocks, and I've got a few obvious stocks on my periphery.
Yeah.
There's a couple that I've had a nibble at,
He owns almost everything, doesn't he?
he does all almost everything. But I'm looking at stocks which potentially that have been absolutely hampered by being held by him that will eventually he would have exited with a
And they'll
view
start to
to
come back. Yeah.
building a stake in the stocks as they recover, and hopefully, regardless of what happens regarding the Brexit, no deal, whatever sort of mayhem over the next 2 or 3 years, they might do okay.
Yeah.
Nothing that's gonna, blow the lights out. But I'm just looking for recoveries in that portfolio because they've been
Well,
hampered by him.
funnily enough, one that the other one that I bought recently is IG Index. I bought more of those.
Right, okay.
So I already had a load in my income portfolio, and I also had them in my other portfolio, the spread betting people and whatever, CFDs and stuff. And they suffered heavily because of the new, I think it's called ESMA, the margin deposit requirement rules, which basically hit their trading a lot, because people were trading smaller size. That's the bottom line. Because you used to be able to put down like tiny amount of margin, like a few hundred quid, and it would give you exposure to thousands and thousands of thousands on an index or something. Yeah, but now it's gone to like sort of 5 to 1. So it's like you put down 500 quid, that gives you 5,000 quid worth of exposure or something, or 2,500 quid of exposure if it's 5 to 1. So people have just not been trading as much, and they've been trading in smaller size. But it looks like IG is starting to get back on track. I mean, they had a trading update probably about a week ago now, and they basically said that August was a good month for them, and that last quarter was, promising, and they think they're going to get back to overall growth over the next couple of years. Well, the thing is, I'm quite happy to wait because it's something like 6.6% dividend or something like that, massive dividend, and it's backed by cash.
That's a good dividend to be had, mate, and to wait whilst it recovers. And like you say, going back to where the conversation started on this podcast, the number of profit warnings we've had since August and
Oh.
July, and now in September, we're going to have a record number for this quarter, Pete. I guarantee it. I'm going to
Yeah.
find the stats eventually, but we're going to have a record number of profit warnings for the third quarter of the year, mate. And by the time we get to December, I think we'll see a record for the whole year that we've not seen for. I don't know since when, since 2007, 8 maybe, but that's
Long
gonna
time, yeah.
that's only gonna help IGG because the vast
Well,
majority
yeah, I
of
mean,
that
if
trading
markets.
are often long rather than short stocks, aren't they?
Yeah, I think if markets get even choppier, that in theory should help IG. So if we go through, if Brexit gets messy and whatever, then that could help IG in terms of their trade. But of course, the other thing that's helping them is that they've been predominantly a UK business, and they are, the market leader, and they invented spread betting and whatever. But they're doing more and more stuff overseas, and they're just launching something new in America, and they've got, some new innovative products and whatever. I mean, they're facing headwinds in that even in Australia, they're talking about reducing the margin requirements. You know, the Australian government's looking in, you know, the regulator's looking into that. So, you know, they've got challenges and stuff, but I think it's the kind of company that will weather the storms, you know, and come through it. And as I say, it's got a strong balance sheet. You know, it's got something like 250 million in cash on the balance sheet, although I think some could be client funds, so we need to be careful with that. But really, they're a strong company, strong balance sheet. I think they'll get back to growth. And in the meantime, I'm picking up 6.6, 6.7% dividend.
Well, that's not a bad place to be, mate. I went the opposite way regarding the stock I'm going to share with you. I've purchased Blue Prism, which is
Well, let me just write that down. No. There you go.
PRSMP, and
Yeah,
essentially,
PRSM, yeah.
it's a leader in the robotic processing automation space, so RPA, and it enables blue chip organizations to create digital workforces powered by Blue Prism software and robots and automations and
So
back
that's
office support staff.
like for so it's like it's, so it's not like robots in the sense of you know Robbie the robot on what was that Lost in Space? God, now I'm showing me age. Lost in you don't remember Lost in Space. You're too
I
young,
do
mate.
remember Lost in
You're
Space.
too
I
young.
do.
So yeah. So it but it's more like about automating admin processes. So say for instance the process of buying a house and doing all the mortgage paperwork, they sort of automate that so you don't need staff to drive it through. It's that kind of thing, isn't
A lot
it?
of the menial sort of tasks, which
Yeah.
ordinarily would take 30 people to do,
Yeah.
you apply their software and put it into the system, you will need two or three people to do it.
Yeah.
And the other 28 people's work is done by the software.
Yeah.
And they've got a world-class sort of brands that are utilizing their products, Aegon, BNY Mellon, Commerzbank, IBM, Nokia, Procter and Gamble, Siemens, Microsoft, IBM, you name it, these companies are utilizing it. The issue really is for them is traction and growth.
Yeah.
In a sense of their revenues is still sub 100 mil, so that once they get to that milestone and they become profitable, they're off to the races.
What
But
kind of growth rate are they showing then, do you think, at the moment?
They're showing something like 30 to 40% growth rate.
Yeah, see, that's pretty strong growth, isn't it?
It's pretty strong,
Yeah.
and they're in a niche which is growing at in certain niches which is growing at 68%. So some of the niches that they're growing on year in,
Yeah.
and so on and so forth. But they just got to get to profitability. I never it never sits comfortable with me. I love my tech companies, as
Yeah.
AI and all the rest of it, but I want to be in a company that's showing some profit. As
Yeah,
I say, I.
or where you can see the path to profit over the next, say, 1 or 2 years is very clear and very visible. And you can sort of look and think, well, yeah, I can realistically see that. The revenues are going to keep growing at this kind of rate. I can see that you know there's a clear path to how it becomes profitable. And on that basis, yes, this looks a reasonable valuation. That's how I sort of tend to look at those kinds of stocks. And I think that's quite an interesting one. I mean, it's obviously risky, but I think it's very interesting.
For me, they've got a peer, unlisted private company,
Yeah.
that's valued at 7 to 8 times more market cap than
Than
Blue
prison.
Prism, yet
Yeah.
their revenues are probably about 15 to 20% more.
Yeah.
Like, there's a complete
There's
disparity there
not
in
much more,
valuation
yeah.
terms.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So for me, I'm thinking if somebody comes in and buys it, they buy it. Fine, fair enough. Although then I've got to find another tech stock, similar to Arm, which I've still been trying to replace since that they got
Oh,
taken out
yeah.
by SoftBank. But for me, it's a case of the value's there. If they can grow the revenue, it'll then creep up.
Yeah.
Won't go stupid overnight, but it could creep up. So I'm going to be patient
What
with it. And it's
sort of
volatile though as well.
percentage of your portfolio have you put into it, do you think, roughly?
At the moment, Pete, and I don't like to share my percentages, but
Oh, okay. Well, no, don't
you've
mate. If you don't
twisted
want to
my
tell us, you
arm.
don't have to tell us.
At the moment, all I've got in that is 1.5% because I'm still building
Okay, well, that's the thing. Yeah, it's a sense.
a position. When
Yeah.
I've finished, I'm likely to have 2.75 to 3 max
Okay. Yeah,
in
yeah.
that particular stock.
Sounds about
Because
right to me.
at the moment my cash levels are rather high,
Yeah.
And that's predominantly because the two takeovers that have been completed in my portfolio, which include SafeCharge from earlier on in the year,
Yeah.
and the cash levels from other things I've trimmed over the past couple of months in various stocks. But the Burford cash of
Yeah, you've had a nice
1,370
wedge from that,
and
so that's,
70% returns, that's the one that's bolstered the cash levels, which were still high from the 1,700% I made on ARM. I hadn't actually applied and put all that back in the market from 3.5 years ago. So I'm still sitting there with a fair bit of cash now, which is why I'm nibbling here and having a look there and all the rest of it. But as I was saying earlier, the portfolio finished today at a all-time high.
Beautiful.
So I'm happy with that, and the beauty of that being that way at the moment is that it enables me to have the cash levels that I've got to apply that if I want to elsewhere, and be a bit more provocative, really. I'm looking at the markets and thinking October, November, given all the melee we're going to have, some things are going to be coming of deeper value, so I can buy some things up or start positions
Yeah,
up again.
it's hard to know. I mean, so do you think there's a fair chance October, November we get some sort of pullback or what? What's your sort of general thought?
Personally, I'm looking at all the macro noises out there,
Yeah.
and I think we're going to see a bit of turbulence in October, November time. I want to be wrong.
Yeah.
I could do without the turbulence, Pete. I'd like to finish the year off and everybody's happy, and people that were in power profit warnings are actually sitting there come November,
Yeah,
December time going,
recovered a bit, yeah.
recovered a little bit.
Yeah.
But given the noises of the market and the behaviours of politicians and all the rest of it, I think we're going to see more noise, Pete. And
Yeah.
come October the 31st, something's going to happen regarding the markets, and it may not be good, it may not be pleasant. So, I hope to be wrong, and I'm prepared for the worst. And if the worst happens, I'll still be looking at opportunities in the market and building small positions to see if they can become bigger. I'm not saying for people to go out there and catch falling knives. I don't advocate that, but there are opportunities in the market. We're seeing the takeovers coming and going, and we're all going, "Oh, I looked at that. I looked at that, but I
Yeah,
wasn't brave enough to buy it." But when something jumps 30, 40% because it's been taken over, it's because there was value there.
I think that's the beauty of being in a position where you've got sort of like, yeah, for me personally, I'm probably holding at least 50 stocks at the moment across everything, I suppose. Probably a little bit less than that because I'm under where I would normally be in terms of the number of stocks. But with sort of like 50 stocks, there's a fair chance you're gonna get profit or get takeovers just because you've got so many stocks. It's sort of bound to happen, really. Because
You're
I think I've had
right the first time, Bing. You're going to have more profit
well,
warnings, and you're going to have the possibility
you're
of
gonna get warnings,
takeover as well.
But you know what? And I hate to say this, and I'm touching wood as I say it. But for me, I had my profit warnings last year. Last year was an absolute brutal year for me personally. My stocks, I had so many. It was like every day I'd wake up and I had a bloody warning. It was ridiculous. But touch wood, this year I haven't done too badly on the warnings. I've had the odd one or two, but it's been pretty good, really. Much better than last year.
I think that's what's helped me, Pete. And I put a tweet out, I think it might have been last week or so. Part of what I've done this year is, and this might sound completely ridiculous because people know how mad I am for research, is that I've actually spent more time researching stocks, if that can be believed, right? And I've chosen not to actually purchase some stocks after I've applied 120 hours on that particular stock. I've gone, nah. Or I've found at the last phase a red flag that I just haven't, my stomach's gone, nah,
You just
not
can't get
today.
over that red flag,
And
yeah.
I've walked away, Pete, and I'm like, 120 hours, 140 hours, are you mad? Just have a little nibble. And I'm going, nah, I'm not doing it. And I've just left it.
And
I've
I think
left
that's
it.
the wise thing. I mean, the good thing is you've now done that research, right? So you now understand that particular company pretty damn well. So, times can change and you might revisit that company and the thing that was a red flag might be less of a red flag in the future or whatever, or the problem might have been solved. So it's not work wasted in that sense. It'll probably help you for the future. So I wouldn't you worry too much about it. You know what I mean? Well, it's good. I think it shows good discipline that you looked at a stock, were keen to buy it, did all your research, and then had the guts to say, no, I'm not going to buy it. Because I think it's very easy to buy something simply because you've done the research, because you sort of feel obligated.
That is very, very true. And believe you me, that's why I keep saying you've got to master your own psychology.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
learning stuff every single day, Pete. And
Exactly.
sometimes when you do research on something, you get pushed over in a certain tangent, and you're thinking, oh, I'll go over there and investigate that. And I go over there and you come all the way full circle, and you're going, oh my days, I didn't know this about this stock. And then you're thinking, how many other people don't know this about this stock, but they're plowing in and buying it, or
Yeah.
analysts are touting it as the best thing since sliced bread. And I'm going, actually, it might not be.
Yeah.
But you know, if you go on Twitter and say, I found this, and this is a red flag, and that's a red flag, stay away, you're going to get absolutely lampooned by so many people.
Bombarded. No, it's so true. I think are we going to mention Mello?
We are going to mention Mello, mate. Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely. So Mello, everyone, is coming up on November the 12th and 13th, Tuesday and Wednesday. David Streda
Yeah.
and his team are going to be putting out a fantastic event once more.
So that's at Carmen's Fella
At Carmen's
on
Fella, yeah.
Twitter.
So
Yeah. And
that's
it's
in.
melloevents.com or .co.uk or whatever it is, isn't it?
It's melloevents.com. So that's Chiswick in the outskirts of London. Have a look at the Twitter account for Mello Events and at Carmen's Fella. It's looking likely that Pete and I will be there. Pete's going to be there on the Tuesday, I think, for the
Yeah, I'm going to
afternoon.
be there on Tuesday afternoon and probably into the evening.
And we're going to have discussions with David. He's put out the feelers already to try and see if we can do something, a podcast maybe on the day. We're going to
Yeah.
have discussions with him about that and see what we can do. But the likelihood is, as with David's events, there's going to be numerous, really, really good small cap companies, fund managers, and fantastic crowd of private investors, male and
Yeah, I
female.
mean,
You know,
it's
it's
such an opportunity to meet
opportunities to meet,
other
greet, and speak with some
like-minded,
like-minded folks. Yeah, absolutely.
totally like that. And I think it's interesting you mentioned the companies. I mean, the good thing about the Merlot events is they're not like some of these other conferences where you just get loads of oil and gas junk. These things, you tend to get some proper decent small cap companies that really are worth looking. I mean, a lot of them, David himself is actually invested in, because he's got a lot of stocks, and
He has, yes.
he has got a lot of stocks. But then that's the problem he's got is he's got a fair old chunk of wedge, and you just get to the point where you have to buy lots of stocks because otherwise you just can't get your money in the market. Just the nature of it.
It is
But
nature of it.
oh, we're gonna say there were, he had some early bird tickets or something, and there was a discount code, wasn't
That's
there?
correct. So,
Do you remember the code?
Wednesday, we Wednesday, I think Mello. It was ML1985 or something like that. I did have it in front of me the other day.
Yeah, I can't
So
remember what.
I'll
It's
grab a.
on my latest. If you go on my Wheelie Dealer 2 website, so that's www.wheeliedealer2.weebly.com. On my blog page there, the blog I did last Sunday, so that's going to be dated around the sort of 22nd, 23rd, whatever Sunday was last week. It's got that discount code written in there, so people can just go in there and find it if they're
So
desperate for.
I just found it, Pete. It's
Oh, well, brilliant.
ML1950 for a 50% off your ticket.
ML1950.
Yeah,
Brilliant.
and the last time he tweeted about it, there was 34 tickets left. So be
Oh,
quick,
so that's,
folks,
yeah, worth doing,
because they'll
yeah.
be gone this weekend. I would no doubt,
Yeah,
think they'll be gone.
definitely.
Okay, Pete, that's a wrap
That's
from us,
good.
I think. Oh, are you happy with what we've covered?
Yeah, I think we've got everything in. Oh, mate, one thing I must just mention quickly. You mentioned me to say it. I just want to say thank you to everybody who came to the Wheelie Bash, because
Absolutely.
that went really well. That was back on 7th of September on a Saturday. I think we had something like 45 people turn up, all met in a pub in Windsor near Legoland, and yeah, it went really well. So thanks for everyone for coming out to my neck of the woods, coming out to Windsor, and it's an event we do every year, and everyone's invited, and just come when you want and go when you want, and great way to meet loads of other people who drink beer and talk about shares, really.
Absolutely. No, I heard the chat and it was very well received, Pete, and people really, really enjoyed it. And you had the weather as well, which helped us, didn't it?
Yeah, I was so lucky. We're so, I mean, we had like sort of like 5 minutes where we had to dive indoors because it sort of like showered on us, but then we were back out there again, and you know, it was great. You know, it really, it's a lovely country pub, out lovely garden, out in the sticks. You know, it's brilliant.
Absolutely fantastic. So that's it from us, guys and girls. Enjoy your weekend. Make the most of it, because I think we've got, a different weather pattern coming towards us over the next couple of weeks. And then,
And that's
that's
just
all.
Brexit, mate. That's
Absolutely.
the Brexit
Absolutely.
weather. Oh
All
dear.
right, everyone. From me, Pete Higgins at Conkers 3. Take care. God bless. And look after each other. Bye bye, Wheelie.
Cheers all. Bye.
Take care. God bless.